Welcome everyone to the Story Cafe. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I'm super excited to be back and doing another episode. It can be challenging at times because I have a full-time job and children and friendships I really like maintaining. It can be really hard sometimes to figure out how am I going to do all this, but I do really love this project, so here I am. By the time this episode comes out, it will likely have been like probably around a month since I released the first episode. And I was so moved by all the lovely things that people said that all of you are the inspiration for this episode. So on March 6th, it was a Wednesday evening, I was plugging away at some podcast stuff and decided that now was the moment. I was going to hit publish on this website I had been working on, hit publish on the podcast, so do the things that I needed to do to get them up on Apple. And there wasn't any real particular reason that I chose that moment other than I said to myself, if I don't do this now, I may never do it. So I need to just hit the button, hit go, and see what happens. Which, if I'm being honest, is a mantra I use pretty frequently. You know, there's so many times in my life when I'm not sure what to do, and I'll ultimately say, well, do it now, or you're never going to do it. When we have two children, and our first child was like 3 and a half when we decided to see if we could have another. And ultimately, we were exhausted and didn't know if we could do it. And I was watching like moms all around me had already had their second and some were like moving on to their third. And I just kind of looked at my husband and said, well, if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it. And so that's kind of was the decision-making process of deciding on having our second child. So it is kind of like a tool I use sometimes. So that's what I did. It was a Wednesday. There was no specific reason for the day. I think it was like March 6th. And I just hit publish. And that's what's wild about the podcasting. I had spent hours upon hours, like websites and doing all these things. And I still don't know, especially with the technology stuff, a lot of what I'm doing. But when it comes to the publishing part, that part was really quite simple. So I hit publish. I pushed a few more buttons and then slowly one by one, I got notifications that, okay, your podcast is there. So that day I realized, okay, so now that I've put it out there, I actually need to tell people about it. And for me, Facebook seemed like the best place to do that. So I agonized for a while over what would I say? How would I post this? And I even opened a document and I mean, it's not like a lot of words are going to go into a Facebook post. And yet I typed and I retyped and I retyped because I wanted to have like a nonchalant vibe that was like, oh, hey, you know, I did a thing. I started this project, but I also wanted people to listen. So I want it to be serious, but ultimately I was terrified of putting myself out there. So I think in the end, I just said, hey, just wanted to share a project I've been working on. And so that night I got like lots of thumbs up, lots of lovely comments. And then the next morning I actually woke up to some really, you know, people had had a chance to listen to it and had said some really lovely things. And what I noticed is that the more kind of nice things people said, the more squirmy I got and uncomfortable I got with receiving the compliments. And it was a big leap for me to put it out there. And I didn't really know what would happen. I guess part of me thought nothing would happen. No one would listen. But people did listen. You know, what's fascinating is that like, as I started to get squirmy with compliments, I started to kind of turtle in a little bit. I think some of that came from a place of, my daughter often talks about these kind of secret thoughts at the back of your brain. Which I love this analogy. And they're kind of the things you think to yourself that they tend to be negative, but you don't tell anyone about them. And I think for me, those secret thoughts were saying, well, it's not actually very good. People are just being nice to you. Which is, you know, not really a it's not a great frame of mind because it's ultimately kind of believing that other people must be lying because that can't possibly be true. And so I set being me, I set myself up on a kind of reflective journey to kind of dig a little bit deeper into what that was all about. And so I want to thank all of you for pushing me down that road a little bit. So that's what today's podcast is about. It's about looking inwards and thinking about why, if you're someone who struggles to accept compliments, why? It's about if you're someone who struggles to ask for help or accept help, why? So it's a lot about that. And it's going to be a lot about my own experience with it, but I hope in that you all can find something that is, resonates with you or is meaningful to you. When I first started thinking about this as a podcast episode and started writing about it, I questioned whether or not it was just me that was kind of like this. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that a lot of us do that. We shy away from compliments. We shy away from praise. We often will be like, no. If someone offers to help, we'll be like, no, it's okay. Like, I don't need help. And if you're like me, you might be always waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is something I do a lot. Sometimes I'm scared that if I say something positive, then I'm going to jinx it and then something bad's going to happen. And I know, like, saying it out loud, I do know how ridiculous it sounds. And I've had like really funny discussions with friends where I'm like, no, you might jinx it. And they're like, the world doesn't work like that. There isn't just some like magic wand sitting somewhere waiting for people to say positive things. And then it goes, oh, I heard a positive thing, jinxed it, and then gives you bad luck. Like, generally speaking, I don't believe that. And yet, I still have these feelings sometimes. And I think our reasons for feeling uncomfortable in praise or when people help us, they're probably all pretty varied. I mean, I think society around us can have an impact on that. Culture, pop culture, how we were raised. We live in a really independent focused culture here in North America. We raise our kids to be independent, be able to do things by themselves, live by themselves. I've been guilty of, thinking and saying that to my own child at times, like, no, you need to learn to be independent. And so maybe that is part of why we kind of drill this into people. You have to be independent. And independence often means do like by yourself, do it by yourself, not need anybody else. And I think all these things are tied together. I think the historic ways that we have raised girls has an impact on, how they see and accept, how they see themselves and how they accept praise. But as I kind of dug a little bit deeper, all these things are a bit true for me, but I think what resonated the most is that I, because of my childhood, had to really figure out how to protect myself really young. And that really stuck with me. So my mother suffered from mental illness, which caused her to have addictions, which is off, not always, but a lot of the times addictions are tethered to mental health issues. And so ultimately my mother's mental health issues led to addictions, which led to me being in the foster care system. So I learned really young that I needed to kind of protect myself, take care of myself. And my mother raised me a bit that way when I did live with her because she knew that she wasn't always going to be able to be there. But also when I was in the foster care system, I then further experienced abuse in a foster home that I was in. And that really kind of drilled home the importance of me being able to be safe and take care of myself. So I built an armor. I built a really thick armor all the way around me. Because that was the only way to keep, the hurt of other people out. And I think a lot of us know at this point in our lives, it doesn't actually work. The problem with armor is like, yeah, it keeps some of the hurt out, but it also keeps out love and compassion and caring. It doesn't discern between the two. So a lot of my childhood, I wore this armor around. I tried to keep myself safe. I worked on being independent, doing things for myself. But that can be really limiting. And for me, you end up kind of being shut off from other people. So, you know, through my teenage years, I actually was able to kind of move away from that childhood, and I slowly started to let people in and slowly started to take off that armor. I never packed it away. I never put it away, probably to this day. It's still like not too far away if I were to need it. But I slowly let people in. And I was really lucky. I have had just the most amazing people in my life who are still in my life. People who I may not see for years, and I run into at a show or something, and we give each other big hugs, and like you just know how much you mean to each other. So I feel really grateful to have those folks in my life. And patiently, like, those people got to know me. They got to see my strengths. They helped me kind of grow out of the armor that I had wrapped myself in. But there were still kind of remnants of that, and still today. I mean, I'm doing this podcast because there's still parts of it that are there. So when I graduated university, I was really lucky to have some really awesome people who were important people in my life come to my university graduation. And university is a bit different from high school in that, like, you can have more people. Certainly at my university, you could have as many people as you wanted. Like, it was a big stadium. So I was really lucky to have some really awesome folks there. My mom was one of those people who got to come to my graduation, because at that point she kind of found her way through her darkness and she was doing really well. And she didn't get to see me graduate high school because she wasn't doing well at that time. So it was really special to have her there. And so my mom was there, and then there were other kind of friends and family members there as well. And I was, you know, certainly my mom never finished high school, and a lot of people like in my family hadn't yet gone on to university. Since they have, which is great. But at the time I was kind of one of the first kind of cousins coming up that went through university. So it was really exciting. And at the event, my mom pulled aside two of my friends who were good friends, but also mentors to me. And she said to them that I needed a lot of encouragement. And when I found this out, I was so mad and I was so embarrassed all at the same time. I was partly embarrassed because at that point I was like 24 years old. And I mean, I'm a grown woman. What is she doing saying this to people? Like, I'm a grown up. I don't need, you know, that from her. Very teenager of me, as I say. And I was also mad because in my mind, I'm like, I don't need encouragement. I'm independent. That means I'm weak. Like, what she's saying is that I'm weak. And, you know, looking back now, I know that is, you know, absolutely not true. But in the moment, I didn't even know what to do with myself. I was like, Mom, like, what are you doing? But I think my mom realized, she knew something that I didn't, which was, she knew I needed encouragement. I mean, all people need encouragement. But I think she knew that the life I had lived meant that I might need some extra nudges. But it also, for her, like, she knew my potential. She knew what I was capable of. And she wanted to tell the people, the important people in my life, that we were all responsible for helping me reach that potential. And that's what it was about for her. It wasn't about saying I was weak or anything like that. It was really, in fact, about noticing my strengths. But it was a hard kind of pill to swallow in the moment. And, you know, looking back on that, I think about that moment a lot. Like, my mom has passed on now, so I wouldn't say like I think about it a lot, but it does pop up for me every once in a while, because I think about how resistant I was to it. And part of that is just a mother-daughter relationship thing where she's my mom, so I'm going to like resist what she says. But a lot of it was really rooted in, I don't need anyone. And that is unequivocally not true, right? We all need encouragement. I'm a mom. So much of my parenting is encouraging and supporting my kids. I'm a teacher. So much of my work at school is encouraging kids and cheering them on. You know, even in my friendships and in my relationship with my husband, right? Like, so much of my time is spent encouraging people. And so to have in that moment thought, I don't need that, is really, you know, a symptom of that armor, right? It's like that I can do this for myself. But my mom knew something I hadn't yet discovered. And I did need encouragement. And those folks that she told that to were awesome. They have been encouraging me my whole, like, since I've known them, which is really lovely. But it took me some years till I could really appreciate what my mom had said that day. So here I am, 42, still trying to reckon with compliments and praise. And not because I, you know, I think I'm learning through this podcaster journey, but I've put something into the world that is going to garner people giving me feedback about it. And, you know, I need to figure out a way to kind of accept that. But I also think bigger than this podcast is figuring out, how do we accept love? How do we let care in? How do we do that as human beings, instead of always kind of pushing it away or shoving down the feelings we have when that happens? And I've had that experience with folks where I've, you know, given them a compliment about something and you can see them squirm. Like, I think it's a really common thing that happens. So I kind of set out on this thought journey the last couple of weeks trying to figure it out. And one of the things I kept thinking about was, like, what do I do differently and how do I do this differently? And what I kind of came to is that there's a tool I've used in my facilitation practice for like 20 years. So before I was a teacher, or the last 20 some years, I have also been facilitating group processes. And I love that work. I'm good at that work. And one of the things that we teach people to do is something called notice, reflect, act. And it is exactly as the words say. It's the idea that we, when we have a response to something, so we have a feeling, let's say we have an experience, then we feel something, instead of jumping right away to reaction, if we reflect, so we take a pause and we reflect on, like, what it is that we're feeling and why it is that we're feeling it, then we can choose actions that are in line with our values. So it helps us to just be more thoughtful, I guess. I mean, it sounds really simple, but it isn't always that simple. If you've ever worked with a group of young people and they say something really inappropriate, and like, you just want to jump to reaction, it doesn't always, oftentimes when we jump to reaction, we don't necessarily have the outcome that we want. So when we take the time to notice what we're feeling, think about why we're feeling it, reflect on it, and then act, and sometimes that reflection is fast, our actions, more often than not, we can feel really good about later, and we're not going to regret them later because we thought about them. You know, if anyone who's ever worked with young people who have had both experiences, where, like, I think about my own children, times that they've done something and I've just reacted versus times when I take a breath, like I did this morning. I had a moment with my son. I took a breath. I was happier with how I responded than if I had just responded without thinking about it. And so I think that's, like, I think I'm going to tether into that process to try to figure out if I can change some of these thought patterns around compliments. And it's not going to be easy. I think any of us who have negative thought patterns, they're kind of ingrained. Like, we build them over time, and they're not something that we can just eliminate instantly. But I think taking the time to really hear the thought, question the thought, and then choose to believe or not believe the thought will help me kind of move forward. And that's important to me. applying this notice reflect act tool to my responses might be harder because they're pretty ingrained. And it's just a cycle within me. It's not a cycle I'm engaged in with someone else. It's like I'm reacting or responding to my own thoughts about me. So I expect that's going to be a little bit tougher. But I think we can do that as humans. I think we can push ourselves to change our thought patterns. I think there's a lot of science out there that says it's absolutely possible if you want to, but it's tedious, right? It's like having the thought, noticing what you experience, countering it. So if you're having a negative thought that's like, I'm not good enough, then like shifting that, well, what's the positive thought that you need to replace that with? That takes a lot of time. And for someone like me who's had a lot of trauma, that armor doesn't ever go away, but I can do a better job of having it like far enough away that it's not like my go-to when something comes up. And I hope that my thought patterns will slowly shift, because I want to be someone who can accept compliments. I want to appreciate them as a gift. I don't want to just duck away and hide from them. I want to feel not so squirmy. I also want to engage in conversations with people, you know, especially when it comes to this podcast. I want to know like, oh, like you enjoyed that. Like, tell me more about that. What did you like or what did you find challenging? Because that's going to help me be better at this project. It's going to help me do a better job. And that's what I want. I don't want to just sail through this doing a mediocre job. I want to progressively get better and better at this project. I love what I'm doing. I'm stumbling through it. And so I want to learn and I want to grow. And I think there's so much power and freedom when we start to kind of cut apart the things that hold us down. And I think there's freedom when we move away from kind of black and white thinking, right? So I can accept a compliment. I can believe it to be true. And I can still be humble at the same time. It doesn't make me a narcissist. That doesn't mean I have a big head. You know, I think we can understand and see our success and embrace our success and the things that we're good at and still be humble individuals who are thoughtful and kind and caring. So there's a really famous quote from a woman, Marianne Williamson. It was used by Martin Luther King Jr. in one of his big speeches, I think in his I Have a Dream speech. And it's often, people often say it's one of his quotes, but it's actually, he was quoting her. And I read this, I read the whole poem at my mom's funeral because it just means so much to me. It's always stuck with me. So I'm going to read a little quote from it before we wrap things up. It goes, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be?" The poem is a lot longer, but this is the part that always sticks with me. You know, the compliments, the praise, the love, that's us starting to let light in and see our own light. You know, when we stop hiding from it, we can start to wield, I think, really great power. I think it can lift us up, help us take risks, help us shift our perspective. I think it can honestly, when we let that light in, can help us change the world around us. But it's absolutely in our hands. Like, me changing my thought patterns is up to me, no one else. And it won't matter how many times someone tells me that I'm good at something, if I don't believe it, if I don't see the light, then it's not going to have an impact. So I want to thank you, the listeners, for your inspiration to help me dig a bit deeper into this. I want to thank you for your kind words and your praise, for your love and your caring. And I hear your words. I hear the kind things that you've said, and I'm getting closer to believing them. It's not that I don't believe them, but part of me is struggling with it. But, you know, it's not a straightforward journey. It's more of a meandering adventure, this thing called life. And I'm up for it. And I know if my mom were here today and said those same words, I would absolutely hear those words differently. So wherever you are, I hope you can turn in to see your own light. I think it's so important, and start to, you know, step into that light, whatever that means for you. That's very yoga-ish, the thing I just said, stepping into the light. That's a very yoga. I've been in a lot of yoga things. There's the whole, like, the light to me, the light to you thing with yoga. I'm not really, like, yoga's not my thing, but I do think there is something about finding our own light and stepping into that. So I hope wherever you are, you can turn in and see your light today. Bye for now.